You're about to listen to a sermon from New City Church of LA. If you'd like more information about New City Church or to download more free audio or video sermons, please visit us on the web at www.newcitychurchla.com. And now from downtown LA, here's this week's sermon.
We're in the middle of a series on prayer entitled Prayerful Life. Today's sermon is called Dark Night of the Soul. It's the title of a book written by this guy named St. John of the Cross, and I'll talk about that. It refers to a particular kind of spiritual dryness. So last week, we talked about contemplative prayer, how we can go from where we are in our prayer life to where God is calling us to be, from talking to God to listening to God, and to be with God ultimately. To experience God's presence through prayer is one of the most powerful things that we can experience. And some of us have experienced that presence of God, but some of us have not. If you've never experienced God's presence in your life, I want to invite you to a journey of prayer. You know, just beginning to talk to God and beginning to listen to God and to be with God. And I want to ask you to try it out. And I talked about some helpful tips to make that happen last Sunday. I want to encourage you to listen to that. I pray that you will experience the beauty of the presence of God in your life. Yet, I know that as we go deeper in prayer, there are times when we face spiritual dryness. And that's what I want to talk about. It's sort of the part two of the sermon that I started last week. Because for some of us, our experience of God's presence is only in a rearview mirror. We go through seasons of spiritual dryness when we feel like God is absent or distant. But it's tragic that we quit praying during these seasons, because often it is at these seasons that God is calling us to be more mature in our relationship with Him. God actually wants to take us to the next level in our relationship with Him. We will see that spiritual dryness, this feeling of distance from God, is not unique to us. Bible is full of people who experience this. David cried out in Psalm 22, 1-2. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish. My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, I find no rest. Spiritual experience of feeling distant from God. And then Jesus cried out on the cross, as recorded in Mark chapter 15, verse 34, quoting this exact passage from Psalm 22. He said, well, in verse 34 it says, and at 3 p.m, Jesus cried in a loud voice. This is on the cross. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? So what I want to do today is to explore some causes of spiritual dryness. And in so doing, explore some ways we can approach spiritual dryness. One cause could be depression. Depression can have a physiological cause that we should see doctors about. But even if there is a physiological cause, there's often a spiritual aspect to our depression as well. Sometimes God heals through doctors, sometimes God heals through prayer, and sometimes through the community of God's people who care. And so we need to approach this from multiple angles. Continue to seek God in prayer. Continue to seek help from one another in the context of community. And continue to seek help from doctors. Depression sometimes has a way of taking us to a tunnel vision that leads to hopelessness. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14 tells us this: encourage the disheartened. We need to be a community that actually knows one another. That's why our grow and serve groups are so important, where we get to know one another so that when we would know when someone is struggling. So we can go down and meet with them and spend time with them and to encourage them. As you may know, Eugene San Jose struggled with depression for a few months. He gave me permission to share this story. He is one of the most lively and interesting persons I know. And if you know him, I don't think you would disagree with me. But without any real cause, he fell into depression. And it happened for a few months. He started to experience tunnel vision and suicidal thoughts and even thoughts of relapsing, which to him was suicide. And he resigned from leadership and closed himself off from other people. But we didn't leave him alone. We met with him and prayed for him. We encouraged him to see a doctor, and he got some sleep aid and some medication, and people kept on calling on him, and we prayed for him. Now it's been a few weeks since he has recovered. I asked him how he recovered. He said it started with Hannah Sims coming down to Long Beach to meet with him, and then other people just calling him and demonstrating care and caring for him and praying for him. He came to realize that isolation was perpetuating his depression, that the enemy actually wanted him to isolate himself so he couldn't get any care, and so he would remain in the tunnel vision. He said it was the love and prayer of the community that helped the most, along with some sleep aid. So let's continue to keep our brother in prayer. But sometimes depression could be the cause of spiritual dryness in our life. Secondly, it could just be that you're tired or just bored with the way you've been doing your spiritual practices, including praying. At college, I learned to pray in a particular way in a context of quiet time. I was always sitting at a desk, and I read a passage, I journaled about the passage, and then I ended with prayer. It was really great. I learned it from InterVarsity and really helped me to develop a relationship with God in a deeper way. But along the line, I somehow got bored with it. It was so difficult to do my quiet time and pray. I constantly felt guilty when I didn't do it, and I would get accountability partners, and we would punish one another if we don't do our quiet time, push-ups, stuff like that, and if we missed our prayer times. And this went on for a long time. But later on, I found different spiritual practices and ways to pray that brought life back into my relationship with God. You know, I see this with new mothers in particular. Some of you have had amazing spiritual practices, but when the baby came, you were living in that world of sleep deprivation, and you couldn't really do what you used to do. And you live in guilt, and you feel like you have to go back to that time and do the stuff that you did when things were so sweet. Well, maybe God is calling you to broaden your prayer life. Maybe he's calling you into silence and meditation when your baby's asleep. Maybe God just wants you to talk to him or just hear him when you're nursing your baby. You need to figure out a new way to pray. Psalm 96:1 tells us to sing to the Lord a new song. This means that we need to use some creativity and sometimes do things in a new way to get out of the rut. And I think talking to others who went through something like this is a critical part of getting some support and ideas. And as you try different ways of praying, it may be that your prayer life becomes vibrant once again. I heard this one guy who always felt too tired to pray. He lived an extremely busy life, and every time he sat down to pray, He felt tired, so he always rushed things, rushed through prayer. Basically, he felt dry because he was tired. So he was talking to his spiritual director, and spiritual director suggested that he try something different. The director asked him what he loves to do. And he said, well, I love to go running on the beach, walking on the beach. And so he said, well, why don't you just invite Jesus along next time you go? And so the next day, he said, he went out to the beach, took off his shoes, started to walk on the sand, jog a little bit, and then just said, Jesus, I want to invite you to come along. And somehow it became much more fluid. Somehow he began to talk to Jesus. Somehow he began to just have conversation with Jesus. The stream of living water came back into his life. Now, sometimes our spiritual dryness can be caused by our sins. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2 says this, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. It could be a sin that we know about. Maybe we're living a sinful lifestyle and you feel guilty about it. Maybe you're in a sexual relationship outside of marriage and you feel this sense of guilt and you don't really want to hear God's voice or experience the fullness of his presence because you think you'll just feel more guilty. Or maybe it's something that you're only subtly aware of and it takes some self-examination to find it. Maybe you're serving something that so consumes you, you don't have time or even the desire to seek God in your life. You know, when that happens, what's really going on is that you're serving an idol. This could be destructive things like drugs and alcohol, but it could also be good things like relationships, a job, or whatever. In fact, it can even be serving in ministry. I see this so often with pastors. They get so absorbed with serving God that they forget to be with God. Ministry can be an idol in their lives. John Cole, director of spiritual formation at Talbot Seminary, he said this. In those in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, there is a storehouse of potential for growth if they are willing to journey into the cauldron of the sins of their heart to discover a deep love beyond what we imagine or think. However, this journey is being swapped for a pottage of ministry in dry bones. Is that how you pronounce pottage? A soup of ministry in dry bones. Sometimes the sin is so deep, we're not even conscious of it. As we grow as Christians, sometimes we actually begin to rely on our goodness rather than on God's goodness. It's true that God produces good character in our lives as we grow in Him. And we start to live on that good character instead of on the love and grace of our Lord. We stop going deeper and we get satisfied with the amount of change that God has brought in our lives. But then something strange happens. We get bored with ourselves and wonder, is this all there is to Christianity? All these things could cause dryness in our spiritual lives. The way to get out of this is not to seek to change our lives so that our prayer lives could go back to normal. No, that would just be like trying to earn our way back to God. Earn our way back to God's presence. That's actually what's called living by the law. Living by the Spirit is completely different. Even though we are a sinner, even though we just messed up, even though we might be serving an idol, we just come to Jesus. And I think the biggest problem we have is that we feel like we have to change, we have to fix ourselves in order to be accepted back into the presence of God. We force ourselves to get more passionate about Jesus. And this happens at a very subconscious level. I remember when I went on a mission trip to Dominican Republic, I had this amazing, spiritually vital time. I saw God at work, and I felt His presence almost all the way through. My prayer life was vibrant, and then I came back, and I fell into depression afterwards. I expected more of myself, but somehow I could not perform. The big thing was prayer. I couldn't pray. I went back to the same pattern that I had before I went on a mission trip, and I felt guilty about not praying, and I ended up in this vicious cycle of being disappointed at myself and a cycle of condemnation and shame. Then I went to a retreat where someone once again shared with me the gospel of grace. And this time, it's not about becoming a Christian through grace. This time, it's about learning to go back into grace each and every moment of our Christian life. It is by grace I live, not trying to earn my place with God. And that's what this person taught me. He goes, you know, you're actually just trying to earn your way to God. That's not the gospel. The gospel is that of grace and love. Somehow what she said just clicked in my heart. And that was the beginning of coming back to God. Just coming to understand, coming to experience His grace and love one more time. For those of us struggling with sin, we need to preach the gospel to ourselves constantly. We need to pray, I am a sinner. You know, we need to understand, I'm a sinner. I must acknowledge and repent of my sin, but God loves me anyway. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We are adopted as His child. He is my daddy. He has given us the Holy Spirit, His presence. None of these things depends on me being good or doing good. They all came by grace, undeserved gift from the Father, and they continue to come by grace, and it is continued to be undeserved. We have to continue to preach this gospel to ourselves. You know, and sometimes, you know, you get into this shame, condemnation cycle where you want to keep away from other people. You got to come back to church. You got to come back to community, grow in certain groups to hear the gospel over and over again. I believe you will see His love for you, and this love will start you back on a journey of being with God once again. Sometimes spiritual dryness could be caused by something that's going on in our lives. Maybe a relational breakdown, we lose a job, difficulties with our health, someone we love dies or is sick, and things are just not going well. We often think that God is not present when things are not going well. When we're happy, we feel like God is with us. When we're not, we don't feel like God is with us. So therefore, we experience spiritual dryness. Where are you, God? You see, underlying this cause is the belief that God is there to make us happy. And so we actually desire happiness more than God. So you go, well, God, if you can bring me happiness, you know, good. I believe you, I'll follow you. But if we don't feel happy, I don't want to be with God because I was just chasing after happiness. Notre Dame sociologist Christian Smith says that the fastest growing religion in America today is neither Christianity, Islam, nor some other Eastern religion. It is what he calls moralistic therapeutic deism. Okay, this is big words. Moralistic therapeutic deism. He calls it MTD. In MTD, the most important truth about God is that he wants all of us to be nice. to feel happy, to be delivered from pain. That's the therapeutic part. Outside of being available when I need him, God will not interfere with my life. That's the deism part. Deism is a belief in God who created things but just doesn't interfere with it. It doesn't have anything to do with it. We're drawn to MTD because we want our lives to be nice. We want our lives to be happy, uninterrupted. And Smith says MTD is our culture, even in our churches. It's like fluoride in tap water. It just exists. It's everywhere. But this actually is not biblical. This is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches us that God can use difficulties of our lives to build us up. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4 says this, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." See, what the Bible is saying is that God can use even suffering, trials, difficulties, bad things that happen to us to build us up so that we may be mature and complete, lacking nothing, lacking anything. See, we have to ask ourselves, are we really looking for God? Or are we looking to use God to find happiness? The irony is that if we seek God and if we live in the Spirit, if we live in His presence, we find happiness. We experience happiness. But if we seek happiness more than God, and things are not working out the way you want it to work out, you get disillusioned. Therefore, a sense of distance from God, spiritual dryness. Now, it could be that our spiritual dryness doesn't come from depression or sins or circumstances or even forms of our spiritual practices. Here's what Mark Thibodeau, the author of Armchair Mystic, the book that I talked about last week, said. He said, "In fact, the dryness may not be a problem at all, but rather a calling from God for me to enter into a very special phase of my prayer life. God may be calling me into the desert." St. John of the Cross, a 16th century writer, called it the dark night of the soul. This dark night of the soul, you know, some people just commonly refer to it as our dry times, our desert time. But dry times and desert times could have multiple causes. But one that is not caused by those other things, but one in which God is calling us to the desert, St. John of the Cross said, called it the dark night of the soul. It's a particular kind of darkness. You see, there are times when our prayer life leads to exciting places. It's like God is calling us to the beach to just bask in a sunshine of His glory, sunshine of His love. We just soak in His love. It's so good. It's so good that sometimes you feel drunk in the spirit. It's so good. But sooner or later, God calls us to the desert. A prolonged period of dryness. You don't experience Him even when you seek Him. It feels like there's nothing there. You might find all kinds of emotions along with it. A sense of loneliness, restlessness, doubt, frustration, sometimes boredom and indifference. Consider the story of Agnes. I found this in an article written by John Ortberg. From the time she was a young girl, Agnes believed, and not just believed, she was on fire. She wanted to do great things for God. In fact, she said such as she wanted to, quote, "love Jesus as He has never been loved before. What a bold statement. Agnes had an undeniable calling. She wrote in her journal that, quote, "My soul at present is in perfect peace and joy," unquote. She explained the union with God that was so deep and so continual that to her it was like rapture, God just taking a hold of her. And she left her home. She became a missionary. And she gave God everything. And then he left her. At least that's how it felt to her. "Where's my faith?" she asked. "Deep down, there is nothing but emptiness and darkness. My God, how painful is this unknown pain? I have no faith," she wrote in letters. She struggled to pray. She said, "I utter words of community prayers and try my utmost to get out of every word the sweetness it has to give. But my prayers of union is not there any longer. I no longer pray," unquote. She still worked. She still served, still smiled. But she spoke that her smile was a cloak that covers everything. This inner darkness continued on year after year, except for one brief respite for nearly 50 years of her ministry. She felt like God was distant. Such was the secret pain of Agnes, who is better known as Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa wrote letters intended for her spiritual directors on the thirst of her soul. And after her death, these letters were made public. And people, I remember reading about them with astonishment. People were astonished. How are we to understand Agnes's story? Here's some thoughts about why God may be calling us to the dark night of the soul. It could be that he wants to mature us through it. I've noticed that people who go through it tend to be more mature as Christians. It's like God wants to take them to the desert to make them stronger. We sometimes rely on emotional and passionate experiences to grow. We see how good he is and we continue to grow. And we get used to drinking milk. And God thinks that maybe it's time to wean us from milk and start eating solid food. And that feels uncomfortable for us. It feels like we're being abandoned. The soft comfort of the breast is replaced with the harsh reality of a spoon. But it actually helps us grow. Unless we go through the dark night of the soul, we will not grow. It might be like when your toddler is learning to walk, and maybe she's holding on to you, but you let go and you step back and say, "Come on." But the moment that you experience him letting go of you, you are filled with darkness. But he wants you to walk on. He wants you to grow. He wants you to mature. It feels like distance, but it's actually a way to help us grow. Remember the story that I told you about this father who walked hand in hand with his son in a sunny day through the park? Just father and son walks hand in hand. And then the father suddenly stops and looks at the son and just, you know, just tosses him in the air and then grabs him back, holds him, spins around and kisses him and say, "I love you." And then puts him back on the ground, takes his hand again and continues to walk on. Even when the feeling of being tossed in the air is gone, the dry times are learning to live with his hand in our hand. We can't always live with him tossing us in the air. See, dark night of the soul actually seeks to bring us closer to God. As we mature in Christ, sometimes we think that God is only in the light. When things are going well, when you feel blessed to be alive, and when your family and job are going well. But the darkness of the soul actually teaches us that God is even in the darkness of our lives. Amen. Even when we don't feel Him, He is there. Even when we are bored with Him, He is not bored with us. Even when we feel numb, He continues to love us. It actually helps us develop our faith in Jesus instead of in our circumstances. He's taking away a blessing to help us grow more dependent on Him. It's not because He loves us any less. It's because He loves us so much. More than we can imagine. One author, her name is Ruth Burrell, says that through prayer, God is transforming us to be a new creation in His image. But she says, I cannot become someone new until my old self dies. As Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 24, very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Maybe the dry period, maybe the dark night of the soul is a way to die to ourselves. What we are seeking in prayer is union with God. Just as God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are one in triune community and fellowship with one another, and just as they invite us to join them in a dance, see, the only way, in order to learn how to dance, the only way to really dance with Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is if we become increasingly selfless. This purification process. In this purification process, in some ways, the first to go are our emotions. It's not that our emotions are bad or you shouldn't use it, but sometimes it must be deactivated in order for us to begin to turn our focus from ourselves to God. When emotion is dominating everything, sometimes it's all about how we feel instead of about God. If I still judge my prayer time by how much they bring me joy and happiness, then I still have not, in a sense, become selfless. I'm not sure. As I was thinking this out, I feel like this is what the Spirit wanted me to say, but I'm not exactly sure how to process what I just said. You go ahead and think about it and see what God says. But I think the important thing is to keep in mind that we must trust God, that God is present and active even when we don't feel anything. There's one song that goes like this. I believe in the sun even when it isn't shining. I believe in love even when there's no one there. Valentine's Day. And I believe in God even when He's silent. Going back to the story of Mother Teresa, she came to see that the feeling of the presence of Jesus was not the only or even the primary evidence of His presence. She learned to live on faith, on the promise of the Word of God that He was with her. Sometimes God leads us into the desert to develop our hunger for God. Gardner C. Taylor, a legendary African-American preacher, said this in an interview towards the end of his life. Interviewer asked him, what is produced in the human soul during dry times that can't be produced during flood times? Reverend Taylor said, the feeling of need, the feeling of lack, of inadequacy, of insufficiency, loneliness. I believe these are for our good, I believe that dry times are a preparation for the flood times. For if winter comes, then spring is surely on its way. Our richest spiritual experiences follow those times of aridity, dryness. Unquote. See, many people who experience this said that the dark night of the soul actually is an opportunity to develop spiritual hunger and purge our hearts of things that used to satisfy us. We used to rely on God, but as we grow as Christians, actually as we actually become decent people and grow in our character, we start to rely on our goodness, and that gets boring. Something is off. The dark nights help us to see that something is off, and you should be hungering for something more. It's kind of like if you go on a carb diet, right? You don't eat bread, and because they say bread makes you fat or something. And so if you go on a carb diet, you just eat meat. What do you crave the most? Bread, right? You just focus on bread because you don't have it. If God takes away his presence, and you were used to his presence, and he takes away a little bit, and you begin to miss God, what do you begin to focus on? You begin to focus on God. There's this singularity that happens. Nothing else matters. You don't want to eat chocolate anymore. You just want bread. It's like when that presence of God, it's, you don't experience it like you used to. You develop this hunger. You go, I want that. Nothing else matters as much anymore. Nothing else satisfies anymore because I need God in my life. See, that God wants to develop that hunger. He wants you to stay hungry. Going back to Mother Teresa again, she came to see that her hunger for God, this very craving for God to her, she said, was a sure sign that God was present. Sure sign. Because she hungered for him so much. Sometimes you come to realize that our pain in the dark nights can be redemptive. Another thing that Mother Teresa came to see is that it's the idea of suffering redemptively. That Jesus himself had to experience the agony of the absence of God. When Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus didn't just suffer at that moment on the cross. He didn't just suffer the physical pain of being crucified on the cross. He suffered separation from God, distance from God, abandonment from God. 3 days in our time, but infinite in God's time. His suffering redeemed us. And like him, Mother Teresa saw that she could suffer redemptively by clinging to God in the midst of darkness. This is an area that I want you to go home and process a little bit more. I don't know how to make of that. What does it mean to suffer redemptively? What can God do through you because of this suffering? What did God do through Mother Teresa? In what way did he redeem her suffering? Maybe that's what Paul meant when he said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. I mean, all of us, we want to know the power of the resurrection. That's the good stuff. But he says there's also power in participating in the suffering of Jesus. I want to close by sharing with you a quote from St. John of the Cross. And I think this sort of encapsulates everything we're trying to say about the dark night of the soul. He says this, "Oh, then, spiritual soul, when you see your appetites darken, your inclinations dry and constrained, your faculties incapacitated for any interior exercise, do not be afflicted." So he's saying when you go through the dark night of the soul, do not be afflicted. This is not a bad thing, he's saying. He says, think of this as grace, since God is freeing you from yourself and taking from you your own activity. It's not about your doing. It's about me. He's freeing you from yourself. This is a gift from God, he's saying. With that last thought, would you join me in prayer? Lord, some of us are in the midst of season of dryness. Some of us know why we're going through dryness. Some of us don't even understand why we are. We just are. Maybe you are calling some of us into the desert so we can grow stronger. That this is a gift from you. It is here because you love us. And you want us to see your love even when we can't feel it. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us. I want to just give you a little bit of time to just pray, just you and God. Ask God, Lord, speak to me. Lord, I want to be in your presence. I want to continue to grow in you, no matter what. I want you, God. I want you to just declare to God, I want you, God, not just happiness. Lord, thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
That concludes this week's sermon from New City Church of LA. Remember, if you would like more, you can visit www.newcitychurchla.com to download both audio and video sermons at no cost. A sermon is posted every week. Thank you for listening.